Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You lay another egg.
Yeah, so, as we said, yeah, it was so falcony. But yeah, man, I mean, I know 0-3 will get people saying that the season is lost. And of course it is after 3 weeks. But, you know, like we get the reality of it. Some people still thought this team was going to the playoffs. So expectations versus what we're putting on the field. But certainly a team we can beat, Carl. But we got to play. Again, what's the mantra? Four quarters, right? We never put four quarters together.
Yeah, got to do that. So Arthur Smith's going to join us coming up. Let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Oh, it's brought to you each and every day by our friends at BrightBox.
B-R-I-T-E, BrightBoxElectrical.com for the ultimate man caves, TVs, anywhere in your house, man. They can do it all, man. Plus, the backup generators. You never lose juice with the thunderstorms, etc. Go to BrightBoxElectrical.com.
Connor Riley, I am not blaming you as Connor joins us from Dog Nation here on the WaitForward.com hotline, but I am going to say this aggressively. What the hell was Kirby doing last week?
I understand the process here, and I'm not defending him. I am just outlining his line of thinking. The week before, when JT Daniels was not playing, they went two drives Stetson. Stetson looked great in those two drives. They went one drive Carson Beck. JT Daniels looked great in those first two drives. He looked great on just about every drive after. Stetson Bennett played incredible against UAB. JT Daniels, healthy, but we don't know if he's totally 100% healthy, if anyone is ever 100% healthy. It made sense in the quarterback position. I understand the process. The results could not have been worse. First throw of the game for Stetson Bennett, a pick six. I do think Stetson Bennett is your clear and present backup. I think in certain situations, you feel comfortable with him in there. But when you're trying to establish a rhythm with JT Daniels, and credit to Daniels for going out there in the rest of that game and showing why I think he can be a national championship caliber quarterback, you have to stick with Daniels. And I think JT Daniels, as long as he is healthy, will throw every meaningful pass for the rest of the season for Georgia.
Okay. As we said, it's not a, you know, a tempest in a teacup over this, Connor, but it's just one of those things when you had Kirby, some curious things with the quarterback position have happened during his tenure in Athens. So you're like, our thinking was just run with JT Daniels. You get a lead, and yeah, if you're worried about health, then you can throw Bennett in there. By the way, in the interim, are we going to see, does it mean Carson Beck is probably going to be transferring at some point? Do they not believe in this guy, or is it too small a sample size?
I think it's still too small a sample size, Look, Stetson has played really well in some spots for Georgia before. Played well against Arkansas a year ago. Led them to wins over Auburn and Tennessee. Was just flat out, like, you could not play the position any better than he played against UAB. And Carson is still learning. You know, those are his first real pass attempts. And I do think the speed of the UAB defense, the speed of the college game, caught him off guard a little bit. And so he's going to learn and grow from that. You know, eventually down the line, I think Carson Beck and Brock Vandergriff, I think one of those guys is going to be your starting quarterback next season. And so how those guys continue to develop, and I think there's a good chance you possibly see Carson Beck play this weekend, just given how bad Vanderbilt is. I think that's certainly a storyline to continue to watch. But to say he's going to transfer is far, far too early or far too to make anything out of that.
Connor, what did you make of the run game? Kirby said he was pleased against South Carolina. I think they ran 484, but what did you think of it?
I was a little bit more impressed there. I thought they hit some big runs, some explosive runs. You have Samir White have an easy touchdown. You have James Cook have another easy rushing touchdown. I think they're still, you know, the backfield by committee thing is going to be interesting because the way they do it, none of these guys really get a rhythm. And I even thought, you know, Kendall Milton in that game, he was the fourth running back to pick up carries there.
And later on, as the game developed and he got more carries, and he was Georgia's leading ball carrier in that game, as he got more carries, he looked more comfortable. And I think that's going to be the case for all those guys. But, you know, Kenny McIntosh and James Cook, those guys look like guys who they don't really need to develop into rhythms. They're ready to go, and they can sort of make their impact on this game on a one-play basis. Whereas I think you look at Zamir and Kendall, you look at Zamir and what he did at the end of the Clemson game, and then Kendall in that South Carolina game, those guys seem to be guys that need, you know, a little bit more carries to sort of establish a rhythm and get up and rolling there. So I think this running game is still going to get better and has room to improve. I think a lot of it is dependent on the offensive line and how they get better. But with the running backs, the thing I'm interested to watch over the course of the season is, you know, they're still playing all four of those guys. Right. When we get to these big games against Florida, against Alabama in the SEC championship game, are we still playing four running backs? Or at that point, do they decide, okay, we're going to ride with Zamir as our guy? Because when he's in a rhythm, he's a really good running back.
Don't you kind of have the precedent, Connor, as K. Connor Riley, by the way, on Twitter from Dog Nation, joins us every week, the precedent from what you had with Sony Michel and with Chubb, and then later on it was DeAndre Swift would get some work. I mean, I'm with you. I'd like to know one guy is like the first amongst equals, but it always seemed like they've been able to pull it off with by committee.
Right, and if you look in those big games, you know, at the end of the 2017 season, you know, Chubb was getting work in that game, but in the Oklahoma game and the Alabama game, Sony Michel was their best ball carrier. If you look at that 2018 Alabama game, while DeAndre Swift and Elijah Holyfield rushed for 1,000 yards in that game, when Georgia needed a play to be made, DeAndre Swift was that guy. And so over the course of the season, it makes sense to have this rotation. But in the big games, in that big game against Florida in Jacksonville, that big game against Alabama potentially in the SEC championship game, I think Georgia's going to know who their one guy is who they feel comfortable giving the ball as the running back.
So, talking dogs, guys, what did you make of the Florida-Alabama game? Because I watched that game, and afterwards I'm going, Florida is going to be a lot tougher for the dogs. It's going to be a tougher out than I think we expected. I didn't think it was a down year for Florida, but I didn't expect them to play as well as they did against Alabama. Certainly the game was at home, but the cocktail party just got a lot more interesting, didn't it?
It did. The one thing I wanted to see from Florida entering this year was, how are they going to be able to run the ball? Because Emory Jones is just not the passer that Kyle Trask is, nor do I think Anthony Richardson is either. But for them to run for 245 yards against that Alabama front and really control the line of scrimmages in that game showed me something about this Florida team. I still think Georgia's going to be favored in that game, but they're not going to be an easy out. I mean, if you're able to run the ball, it makes things very difficult because I do think you're able to be a little bit more unpredictable. As far as Alabama, this isn't the 2020 team. They are just clearly, I don't think they're as good. But I think that 2020 team is the best team in recent college football memory, even better than that 2019 LSU team. I think maybe Alabama was a little bored. I don't think they took Florida 110% seriously. Like, I do think you're going to see them take Ole Miss next week. Right. But this Alabama team is still good enough with the overwhelming talent that it has to beat a Florida team that I thought played a B-plus, A-minus game that day. Was Alabama probably played a C-plus, B-minus game, and Alabama still came out with a win.
Right. And we said it yesterday. Carl, I think, touched on it. You know, Nick can say rat poison and mean mug his team all week because they did all those things you just said. But it does give Georgia fans, if you can get the running game to the level where we're used to having it, that's where it looks like you can have that advantage on Bama. All right, we're going to just skate right past Vandy as if they don't even exist, Connor. And we'll go on to the new – I don't like a noon start, but because Alabama at Ole Miss is the bigger game, does that give you a little bit of pause that it's an early game with it? You know, Pittman's going to have energy with that squad that's not going to beat themselves.
So I actually think Arkansas being as good as they are is going to make this a little bit easier. Obviously, the last time Georgia played a noon SEC kickoff game, they lost. They lost to South Carolina in 2019. Kirby Smart said that game, our team just came out flat. This Arkansas team is very different from that South Carolina team because this Arkansas team is going to be physical. They're going to want to play smash mouth football. Obviously, Georgia is still more talented than this Arkansas team. Right. But Arkansas, they play A&M this week. They're going to be ranked either way, whether they win or lose. And I actually think they're going to beat A&M this weekend. And so you're looking at a top 15, maybe even a top 10 game. I think because of how well Arkansas has played to start this season, I think they're going to have Georgia's full attention there. You would hope that they have this team's full attention. And, you know, I've been covering this team for a few years now. There does seem to be a different energy, a different level of focus around this Georgia team. They came out in the first half. They weren't messing around with South Carolina. They weren't messing around with UAB. I do think that this team does have a greater sense of focus, a greater sense of purpose than maybe that 2019 team did.
Okay.
I think that Arkansas game is going to be a chance to really showcase that and really put an even further stamp on where this Georgia team is.
Hey, speaking of the running game, Kendall Milton, I was going to ask you, I mean, I know we're seeing all these different guys have carries, but is there a go-to guy, or is it just who's ever on the field? It doesn't seem like one guy's getting a substantial amount of carries more than the other.
Yeah, it's tough to say, because James Cook clearly has a role. He is clearly a dynamic weapon for this offense. But as you know, a true running back, I think you have to separate him. And I maybe even include Kenny McIntosh in that category as well, because I still think his highest upside is when they do sort of spread things out. Whereas Zamir and Kendall are sort of your more traditional running backs. And I think Zamir has shown he's a little bit better right now at breaking those truly explosive runs, while I think Kendall Milton is a guy who is physical, can break 2-3 tackles, but hasn't quite gotten to the point yet where he's ripping off super long runs. And so, you know, how they balance each other out is going to be really interesting. I would lean Zamir White right now, only because we saw him in that role against Clemson at the end of the game where Georgia needed to run out the clock. That last drive, 9 plays, they gave him the ball 5 times, 31 yards, converted 3 different third downs on that drive. So I think when the game is on the line and Georgia finds itself in that position, I still think Zamir is the guy there.
Hey, man, K. Connor Riley from Dog Nation. Before we cut you loose, what's being allowed to be told to the media about the guys that are banged up? Tyke Smith, we heard some receivers are catching passes at least. What are you hearing?
Yeah, so George Pickens back, black contact, knee brace on a practice on Monday, but I think that's an encouraging sign. You've seen him engaged on the sideline during games. I think that's an encouraging sign. If you see him on the field this year, I'm still a little skeptical. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I will believe it when I see it happens. I think, you know, that November stretch run, I know some people have thrown out the Florida game as a possibility. I tend to maybe side later November there. I don't think you're going to see Darnell Washington and Tyke Smith this weekend. I think they do return for the Arkansas game, but it sounds like they're still a week away. Maybe a little bit more optimistic about Dominic Blaylock. He's got a hamstring injury now, but it's no longer the ACL injury with him that is sort of keeping him off the field. It's how he deals with his hamstring injury that he has developed, which, you know, happens from time to time when you are recovering and you're rehabbing and focusing so much on one area of your body, you're maybe not totally focusing in on the hamstring issue right there. So, you know, I think Washington and Smith, I do think they're going to be back for that Arkansas game, but I'm skeptical we see them against Vanderbilt this weekend.
Great stuff. We'll see what happens with Vandy. Blowout. And then as they get ready for next week against Arkansas. Great job, Connor. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. Mike, I don't want to say it's, you know, easy coast riding, however you want to phrase it right now. But, you know, these games, to be quite honest, UAB, last week, you really weren't worried. And there was no reason to be worried. Vandy this week. This is why Mike and I were saying in the offseason, the schedule sets up perfectly. Let's be honest, Dawg fans. You got to show up maybe twice this season to get into the college football playoff. Seriously.
It's true. I mean, but Arkansas is a game, as we said, they're not going to beat themselves. And as Connor referred to, that noon start, it always kind of gives you a little bit of heebie-jeebies. But that's a team that should have their attention. But, again, I'm sorry for Vanderbilt fans. It's a nice weekend in Nashville. It is what it is this year.
All right, man.
It's always a nice weekend for us in Nashville, but especially
man, it's
for guys making the trip, right?
Yeah, yeah. And make sure you get that hot chicken line early, all right? Hey, coming up, we're going to go behind enemy lines, guys. Art Stapleton. He's a Giants reporter. We'll find out the latest about the Giants as we start getting ready for Sunday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to go behind enemy lines. We're bringing you all the intel for the Falcons' opposition.
Brady Jarrett blasted it.
Only on Dukes and Bell.
Oh, it's time to go find out about those New York football Giants. Art Stapleton is here. He's a reporter for the Record up there. And, Art, it's good to have you on Dukes and Bell. I want to start out first with Joe Judge. And what's your take on him? But how has he been received by the fan base now after 2 weeks as to Giants fans and how they're feeling about their new coach?
Well, I guess the honeymoon is over. And thanks, guys, for having me today. I think the problem with Joe Judge in assessing his year and now 2 games is the fact that the Giants have done so much losing before he got here that it's almost become one linear, you know, situation of losing. And, you know, he's the third head coach now since 2016 since Tom Coughlin finished up in 2015. So, you know, you can do the math, guys, but when it comes to winning here, the losing has kind of taken over. And I think that's what Joe Judge is up against now. And the missteps of the previous two head coaches, Ben McAdoo and Pat Shurmur, have kind of cast a shadow over what Judge is trying to accomplish. So the Giants have lost the most games or won the least amount of games since 2017, but Judge has only been a part of that for a season and two games. But he has now inherited that lack of success. So long-winded answer, I do think there's some angst. I think that this is a fan base that expected more the first 2 weeks. And I think Judge and his coaching staff need to have a big game on Sunday against a rookie head coach and Arthur Smith, and obviously maybe more of a level playing field than what the outside has kind of expected for the Giants the first 2 weeks.
Art Stapleton's with us, guys, NorthJersey.com, and he's got a great podcast on the Giants as well. Art, you basically described almost the exact same situation that Carl and I are dealing with Falcon fans, because Dan Quinn, we haven't done jack the last 3 years, and we still have, you know, we still got a quarterback that's been an MVP, and we got skilled position guys. So I think people also had expectations for this team as well. It's a big game for us. How much are we going to see of Saquon Barkley? Only 23 carries so far this season, I guess by design. Are they not confident that he's 100%, or you're not even close?
You know, I think the short week in week two kind of held Barkley back a little bit. You know, he showed some explosion on a 41-yard run down in Washington that kind of got everybody all excited. You know, oh, we're going to see the old Saquon Barkley. And then the last drive after they get that turnover to kind of put the game away, they settle for a field goal. They went to Barkley twice. You know, if Saquon Barkley's 100%, no one's really arguing about them going to Saquon Barkley twice, but they end up settling for the field goal in that spot, and they end up, you know, losing the game at the end on a wild series of events. But I think you're going to see the best of Saquon Barkley on Sunday. I really do. I think the Giants were apprehensive in week one. I think they thought Denver's defense was going to change the game if they were too aggressive. I think in week two against Washington, I think they were very focused on allowing the Washington aggressive front to kind of play themselves out of the game, and that allowed Daniel Jones to have 95 yards rushing on option keepers. I don't think they're looking past the Falcons' defense, but I certainly don't think they're intimidated by the Falcons' defense. I mean, the proof is in the 80 points that they've given up the last 2 weeks. So I think you're going to see a little bit more aggressive Giants team. And I think that includes a little bit more for Barkley early on to see if they could spring a couple big ones and get that crowd into it against Atlanta on Sunday.
All right, so who's Galladay really mad at? Fill us in.
Me, you, who else? Who else can he be mad at?
So what's the problem?
No, look, I think, you know, him getting captured on camera on the sideline, it's not a good look. It doesn't matter who he's yelling at. He could have been yelling at a staffer holding a clipboard. It's not a good look. I think the reality is the Giants are trying to spin it as if it's, you know, the competitive nature and, you know, Galladay wants to win, and it was one of those things where, you know, I'm getting open, give me the ball kind of thing. My take from after the game and the more I watched the video, he was yelling before Daniel Jones even came over on the sideline. And I think the video wanted to make it seem like it was Daniel Jones. It was Jason Garrett. I mean, I think Galladay was hot. He was upset and frustrated with some of the play calls. I mean, I think in a way he was embodying the Giants fan that has grown frustrated with kind of the passive aggressiveness of Jason Garrett's play calling. Mm-hmm. So I believe he was going after Garrett a little bit. If you listen to Joe Judge, he wants you to believe that it's really a product of the emotion of the game and the competition. Any league that I've been in, I mean, I'll tell my nephews when they're playing high school football, you don't yell at your offensive coordinator. If you're frustrated, you find a better way to do it, not on the sideline. So Galladay has got to have a bigger impact when they're in the red zone. That's what they talked about when he got here. And I think that's on the Giants for not taking advantage of it. So As much as I think Golladay is wrong for how he handled things, I think he's right with the point that he's trying to drive home in, is that you're paying me more than $70 million. Get me the ball more than five times a game. And I think that needs to go from the head coach, the offensive coordinator, through the quarterback and on down.
We're going behind enemy lines about Big Blue with Art Stapleton from up in Jersey. Breaking sports for the record at NorthJersey.com. He joins us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Our defense finally got a little salty against the Bucs, and we got close. We got it down to three, but before we lost by 23. But what about Nick Gates? He goes out. They move some pieces. They traded for a lineman. What's the Giants' offensive line going to look like on Sunday?
It's a good question. I think it's like 17 different configurations since Dave Gettleman became the general manager here. And that was the one thing that Dave Gettleman said here when he took the job 4 years ago, was that he was going to fix the offensive line. And they're still spinning their wheels trying to figure out which guys fit best. I think you'll see former Ohio State, really first-round pick of the Bengals, Billy Price at center. He started there last week. Nick Gates, who played every snap last season at center, playing center for the first time. I mean, talk about baptism by fire last year. Gates moved to left guard last week, and obviously really a horrendous fractured leg on national television last week. That he had surgery. He's out for the year. So I think you'll see probably former Raven Ben Bredesen played at Michigan. I think he'll be at left guard. So it'll be Price and Bredesen in the interior, and then obviously Andrew Thomas at left tackle, who, boy, if the Giants won last week, we would have been talking about how good Daniel Jones played, but also how Andrew Thomas just erased Chase Young and or Montez Sweat, whoever went up against him in that game. So, you know, it hurts Andrew Thomas a little bit last week because the perception coming out of the preseason was that Andrew Thomas was a bust, right? He was the worst of the four tackles last year. He's played pretty well the last 2 weeks. So the offensive line, if they can hold up on the interior and Thomas can play another good game, I think the Giants will feel a little better about what they have up front moving forward. But the Gates blow was definitely something. He was their most consistent offensive lineman, whether it was going to be at center or at left guard. So to lose him and a captain, it's definitely something that I would think the Falcons want to take advantage of.
All right, well, we're talking about Georgia boys, because Andrew Thomas is. How's Lorenzo Carter? What's going on with Ojulari? How are these other guys doing that we're familiar with being in this part of the country? Darius Slayton, he went to a high school here. He's also a Georgia boy that's on that Giants football team.
Yep, don't forget Evan Engram. Evan Engram could be making his return, his debut in 2021 on Sunday, going out there. He looked pretty good today coming back from that calf injury. Lorenzo Carter, I was a little surprised that he's gotten off to a bit of a slow start. He looked really good in the summer, but maybe a little bit of that wear and tear coming back from the Achilles injury that he had last year. The Giants were pleasantly surprised with how active he looked this summer. So it's still a wait and see. Maybe the sight of the Falcons uniforms kind of gets Lorenzo going a little bit this week. I know the Giants, in ideal circumstances, want to run a lot of games with Zoe and Leonard Williams. So maybe that kind of happens on one side. I actually talked to Ojulari. I'll have a story on him this weekend. You know, I don't think anyone would have anticipated two sacks in 2 weeks for him as a rookie and coming in. And it's really so quiet. Like, nobody really has been talking much about Ojulari. I know part of that is the Giants being 0-2. So I think Ojulari has an opportunity this weekend, if he gets an uptick in snaps, to continue his production. That's a big difference from when he was at Georgia, right? He's playing every snap. You know, he said, you know, you're used to the volume. Now you have to make the most in pretty much half the snaps that you're getting. So it's a lot about, you know, just moving play to play and making the most of it. Darius Slayton is an interesting one. You know, he had a big touchdown pass last week and then took a lot of heat for the one that he dropped in the end zone. Wasn't a perfect throw for Daniel Jones, but hit him in the hands. He was wide open. He catches that touchdown, and the Giants probably win on Thursday night. They had a lot of woulda, coulda, shouldas from Thursday night, but that's kind of your rundown for the Georgia guys. But I keep an eye on Engram. It's going to be an interesting thing over the next couple of days to see how that calf comes around. because he's definitely a missing piece. They've gotten no explosive plays from their tight ends, Kyle Rudolph and Caden Smith. And I think as much as Ingram had such a roller coaster last year, I do think that maybe with less touches and less attention, Ingram can make even more out of the opportunities that he gets. And they won't be negative plays that kind of marred his year last year.
Great intel, Art, man. Appreciate all that stuff, man. Again, two fan bases feeling the same way. Somebody's coming home with a W on Sunday.
Art Stapleton,
yeah,
take
absolutely.
Care.
Absolutely. Okay, guys, thanks for having me. Appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Yeah, man. We go behind enemy lines every week, guys. BetQL, the network, is available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and websites, guys. Your one-stop shop for betting info. Get sports betting tips from local talent, national experts. It's BetQL Network only on the Odyssey app. All right, coming up, Mike, we got Guy Talk. What do we got? What do we got?
All right, man, what if you're in a country which is kind of on lockdown, but you're really craving fried chicken? Would you try to smuggle it in? We're big chicken lovers on this program. We'll explain next in Guy Talk on Dukes and Bell.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah, man. On a hump day edition of Dukes and Bell, we got Coach Art Smith, guys, coming up at 5 o'clock, so stay tuned for that. Right now, though, Guy Talk brought to you by our buddies at Hoots Wings, Chicken Wings, and other things. Three locations around Metro Atlanta. Let them do the cooking. There's literally thousands of different varieties of styles of wings, sauces, and all sorts of cool stuff. Buffalo shrimp, fried pickles, and Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale at all three locations, so get on it. All right, Carl, a couple of things this weekend, in addition to some college and pro football and everything else, and the baseball pennant races are going down to the wire. We got the Ryder Cup, and needless to say, a lot of controversy about will Bryson DeChambeau have a meltdown? Will he and his teammates come to blows? No one's saying they're going to come to blows with the Europeans. They seem to all get along together. But there's some interesting odds and some prop bets that have been put down by Ladbrokes, which is one of the major online betting services from the UK. And they do. Remember when we were in Vegas? It used to be called, what was it, the Imperial Palace?
Yeah.
Where you could basically go in there and you could go up to one of the bosses, come up with your own prop bet, and they would run it by their guys, and then they'd either take the action or they wouldn't. But you could create your own crazy bets. Well, Ladbrokes has got a bunch of amazing side bets. It's right now, Carl, 20-1 that Bryson DeChambeau has some form of a meltdown. I.e., they've got two different categories for meltdown. Meltdown where he gets into an argument with a rules official.
Ooh.
That's at 25-1. Then they've also got him at blowing a lead, either in match play or he's in it, however it works out, or he's working with a teammate, that he's going to have some kind of a choke, which is interesting for a guy who's already won a major.
Yeah, I would take it though, Mike. I mean, this is kind of his MO and his makeup, right? I mean, you talk right. about the officials and getting the official judgment of different things that have happened in these tournaments. It happened last time in a major for him.
Mm.
So on top of that, he blows leads. So I would take that bet.
I'd be interesting to see how this all works out. It's up at Kohler, Wisconsin, Whistling Straits, where we've had the PGA before. The Americans, as Carl mentioned yesterday, just two of the last nine events since the post 9/11 was moved to 2002. Now the pandemic obviously has pushed it to this year. So we're back where it usually comes down to, you know, the Europeans playing better as a team for whatever it is. We have the talent. We're the favorites. Matter of fact, speaking of gambling, Caesars Sportsbook has Team USA on the money line at minus 200. Mm. So basically risk 200 to win a hundy. Also, John Rahm is the favorite to be the top European player at plus 333 bucks. And Justin Thomas is plus 600. So they'll be the first or the best scoring American golfer in this. Remember, we don't have Patrick Reed, but we do have a lot of guys that can bomb it. But Reed has always been a guy who's risen to the occasion in these Ryder Cups.
Yeah, I saw the guys today that they were, it was a practice round, and they entered. And they've all got cheese heads on, and it was just the best. Embracing the Wisconsin crowd, and they right. come in, and everybody's going crazy. Listen, I'm excited for it, Mike. I said this. I wanted us to win in 18. We got humiliated, and obviously, you know, the next one's going to be overseas. But I mentioned this last year. We were making plans to try to go to this, and then the pandemic happened, obviously, and we did not go because the event was canceled. But I love that golf course, the layout. When you guys see this course on TV, it sits on Lake Michigan. It's beautiful, man. It is.
Big time. Hey, man, we've talked about COVID a lot on this program, and, you know, there are some, again, depending on where you get your news, maybe we're coming out of the woods here in Georgia. Maybe. Fingers crossed. Meanwhile, down under and over, Carl, in New Zealand, they really take their lockdown seriously. Some would say it's a case where the chickens have come home to roost. Two men accused of foul play after being caught trying to enter New Zealand's largest city And apparently, Carl, they literally have police on patrol like it's a science fiction movie. That's how locked down the lockdown is. Wow. But anyway, they try to enter Auckland with a huge stash of Kentucky Fried Chicken in the trunk of their car, as reported by The Guardian. Police were on patrol on the outskirts of Auckland when they noticed a suspicious-looking vehicle traveling on a gravel road. And upon seeing the police car, the vehicle did a U-turn and sped off. Obviously, that's pretty much a red flag or the red light's on. The vehicle was searched, and police located the cash alongside empty ounce bags and large amounts of takeaways, as we would call, you know, takeout food. So again, they found some weed, but they more importantly found three buckets of chicken and several containers of coleslaw and undisclosed quantity of fries. The finger-licking suspects were traveling from Hamilton, a town about 75 miles south. And apparently, as we said, lockdown rules are pretty serious. So I don't know if it was more about the chicken or the drug paraphernalia and the undeclared cash that they had in the car. But either way, when you are, I've been told when you are smoking, the munchies, you know, and chicken gets a nice, it's a winning combination right there.
Yeah, maybe. How much cash do we know?
Let's see here. They had over 37, not that much, $3,700 in cash.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Not that much.
Okay,
that's,
I thought it was 30,000.
No,
okay.
No, gotcha. No, obviously, well, again, maybe in New Zealand money, it's 37,000 pounds in New Zealand money. I don't know what the exchange rate is over there. But anyway, they said that, check that. New Zealand, it was 100,000. Again, it's proofreading, 70,000 American.
Okay. So, yeah, that's significant. Yeah,
that's cash. Yeah. That's serious cash. Yeah, it was. Apparently, they found $3,700 worth of drugs. I guess they smoked all their stuff. That's right. And then the chicken. So, I don't know whether the chicken was a part of a black market operation or the guys just had the munchies. Hey, we got to move because we got Arthur Smith coming up at 5. Aaron Rodgers really unloaded on his critics. So, we talked about it a little bit yesterday on his performance on the appearance on the Pat McAfee show. Aaron Rodgers says it's absolute horse blank to give a platform to people who have no idea what they're talking about as far as my mental state, my focus, my habits. People have not been around me, are not in my life, I don't communicate with, nor in the locker room. That's just chicken blank. It's ridiculous that people get a platform to do this. It started off with Adam Schefter said that he wanted to be traded out of Green Bay and wouldn't return. And then a former teammate, Jermichael Finley, said it was a bad vibe in the locker room from what he was hearing. But anyway, Aaron Rodgers says you guys are all full of stuff that ends with a T.
Well, listen, it's been all drama, all off season, now into the season. So the only way Aaron's going to defeat his critics, Mike, is go to Super Bowl and win another one.
Right.
Really. Hey, because this stuff's not going away.
Three trips it would be to the NFC Championship if they can do that. But, I mean, one would imagine one way or the other this is his final season in Green Bay. All right, let's hit the closing bell, see what we got going on in Wall Street. Hey, man, we got some good news so far. Fed not ready to remove stimulus, and Wall Street apparently liked that. Dow Jones jumped up 338 points. S&P was up 41, and NASDAQ was up 150 today. Closing bell is brought to you by Alliance Tax Solutions. Get the IRS off your tuchus. Find a plan that makes sense so you're not sitting here paying through your nose, because the IRS, Carl, is relentless. They're like a bookie that charges 35%. Believe me, I know from personal experience. Hey, birthdays today, September 22nd. You got a birthday. You share it with David Coverdale of Whitesnake. Turned 70. He, amongst other ladies, he had the chance to spend time with Tawny Catane. Remember that crazy woman?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I had heard that name forever.
She passed away recently, but that was David was with her before she hooked up with Chuck Finley, the Angels player. But yeah, he's the guy driving the Jaguar that she's on the hood of doing the thing. That's Whitesnake. That's a very good band. And dude's got great pipes and a very nice guy. I interviewed him many years ago. Joan Jett is 63. She made out with a girlfriend of mine once backstage at a club in the Hamptons.
Did you watch?
No, but I walked kind of on it in the hallway. I was like tapping my girlfriend Stephanie at the time, like, something you want to share with group?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I can't complain with that one. I mean, who am I to argue with Joan Jett? Nor would I. Hey, man, Hall of Famer Harold Carmichael is 71 today.
Yeah, the one of the first big, tall receivers, Mike, in the NFL, right, that kind of started that trend of those guys can play too out there.
Yep. He's got a gold jacket, never got the Super Bowl ring. Vince Coleman is 60. There's a thing, guys, in baseball. It's called stealing bases. I know we do it when Acuna's out there, but they used to do a lot. He was a six-time leader in the National League. Debbie Boone is 65. My God. She had a song that was a hit that they just would not end. It's still plaguing me in my mind. Mystikal is 51, the hip-hop. Has he had a song out recently?
I don't think so. No.
Soccer great. Thiago Silva is 37. And Rangers goalie Mike Richter won a Stanley Cup. Is 55. David Stern would be 79 today. And Tommy Lasorda's birthday today is well, Carl.
Wow. All right, man. Coming up, Coach Arthur Smith's going to join us. Falcons head football coach stops by Dukes and Bell for his weekly visit. We have questions. He's got answers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.